people were laid right at the feet of Jesus, and he healed them all. That had to be incredible, and I'm certain that there was much thanksgiving and praise that was coming from the people. And after 3 days of the people just following Jesus, he told his disciples, the people have been with me for 3 days, and they haven't eaten. What do we have to feed them? And if you remember the disciples, they said to our Lord, we have 7 fish and just a few loaves of bread or something along that line. And so Jesus, and this is what I'm getting at, Jesus, he took those meager means among so much that was really nothing. But the scriptures tell us that he blessed it, and this is it. Our Lord gave thanks. Jesus, he gave thanks. It's not often where you see that Jesus gave thanks. I'm sure he did, but here he gave thanks. He stopped. He paused to express his gratitude towards the Father. And busy as he was, working, so much going on, and yet our Lord, what an example. He gave thanks. And this was a highlight of his ministry. And by this time, having the multitudes just coming, and ministering in such profound ways, this was a highlight of his ministry. And in the highlight of his ministry, he gave thanks. But Jesus didn't only give thanks in the highlights. Jesus gave thanks also in the lows. If you remember, near the end of his ministry, it was just maybe hours before he would be arrested, and then a day or so before he would be betrayed. And he knew everything that was coming. It says that now in this setting, he was just with his disciples, just the 12. Before he was with multitudes, a highlight. Now he's just a small group, just he and his disciples. And the scriptures tell us that he took the bread and he broke it, he blessed it. But it tells us that he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And what an example of our Lord, that in all of his ministry, he was a thankful Savior. He was one who would express his gratitude to the Father in the highs of life and in the lows of life, setting that example for us. Now tonight, considering Jesus and how he was thankful and grateful, regardless of what God allowed in his life, I want us to consider a gratitude and thanksgiving. And we're just going to look at two aspects, two things, gratitude, what it is, thanksgiving, what it is from a biblical perspective, especially thanksgiving. And then we're going to answer the question, why? Why give thanks to God? Why should you be thankful? Why should I be thankful to God? And again, we're going to consider these things, especially thanksgiving, from a biblical perspective. And so, Father, again, we come before you and we ask that you bless this time as we consider your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Gratitude and thanksgiving are often used interchangeably, and they certainly do go hand in hand, and they are joy boosters. And yet they are two different things. Sometimes we look at them as if they're the same, but they are two different things within that similar category. Now, gratitude is a state of being. That's what gratitude is. It's It's more of a choice. We choose to be grateful. You've heard the phrase or the saying, attitude of gratitude. And it's something that I would say emotionally mature, mentally mature, spiritually mature, or those that want to mature, they see the importance of becoming and working towards, striving towards becoming a individual that's grateful. Now, there was a study that was done. In that study that was done, it revealed that grateful people are much more optimistic and feel better about their lives. There was two psychologists. One was Dr. Robert Emmons of the University of California, and the other was Dr. Michael McCall of University of Miami. And these guys, they had done much research on gratitude. And in one study, they would ask participants to write a few sentences each week focusing on particular topics. Now, one group wrote about things that they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. And then there was two other groups. The second wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And then the third group wrote about events that had affected them, but with no real emphasis on them, whether, you know, being positive or negative. And then after 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude, they were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. The grateful group also exercised more and had fewer visits to the physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. Other studies have looked at how being grateful can improve relationships. It tells us, for example, that the study found that individuals who took time to express gratitude for their partner not only felt more positive towards the other person, but also felt more comfortable expressing concerns about their relationship. And studies on gratitude also show that people who practice gratitude even have a stronger, what do you think I'm going to say? Immune system. Isn't that interesting how important gratitude is to the human body, to relationships, to the experience of life? You don't have to answer out loud, but are you a grateful person? You don't have to answer out loud. Or are you the kind of person that focuses on daily irritations? Well, if you are one of those who focuses on daily irritations, I would encourage you, just from person to person, humanly speaking, I would encourage you to start practicing gratitude. It doesn't have to be Thanksgiving to practice gratitude. Gratitude, as we saw in Jesus, was expressed all during his ministry. I mean, we can sum it up that way. Jesus was a grateful man. We know he is the God-man, but in his humanity, he was grateful. And yet, there is a difference between gratitude and thanksgiving. You know, gratitude, as I said, is a chosen state of being, which certainly does yield proven benefits. But number two, you know, we looked at gratitude. Now we look at thanksgiving. A thanksgiving is gratitude, and I want to look at it more so as it is defined this way. Gratitude especially towards God, exactly what Jesus demonstrated. But thanksgiving is gratitude expressed, especially towards God. And there are several outlets that God has given us to express our gratitude. But one of the most beneficial outlets, and it's something that we all participate in to some degree, but we can participate it in even a more meaningful, more profound way. But one of the outlets that God has given us is worship. Worship. Certainly we can worship alone in private, but you know, God has called the saints to gather together to worship him corporately as well. And when it comes to worship and corporate worship, you know, there's a whole book in the Bible that's really dedicated to worship. Do you know what book that is? The Book of Psalms. And we understand that those are songs. These were songs. This, you could say, was the hymn book for the Jews throughout their history. And these songs would be sung oftentimes among the congregation as they would gather to express their gratitude and their thanksgiving to God. And throughout many of the Psalms, you'll see where the psalmist is saying something about thanksgiving, and it's something in regards to what you and I should do as worshipers of God, as children of God. There are directives. Hey, you, do this. You, do that. And the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, never says anything about feelings. He'll never say, worship God with thanksgiving if you feel like it. You know, oftentimes I've experienced, I'm sure many of you have as well, if not all of you, you've experienced that when you do the right thing apart from feelings, when you do the right thing, even if you don't feel like it, the right feelings follow. Have you ever experienced that? I'm sure many of you have. And that's why the psalmist speaks forth with the authority of the Holy Spirit and will say things that direct us. Do this as a child of God. For example, Psalm 26, verse 7. You know, we see a bunch of examples here. But in verse 7 again, the psalmist says, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Now we'll get to the directives in just a few verses here. But here he talks about the voice of thanksgiving. One of the things, one of the examples of expressing gratitude to God, the voice of thanksgiving speaks on this way or in this way. It tells of all of the wonderful works of God. And so, in a sense, it's like, thank you, God, for sending your Son. Thank you, God, for giving us your Holy Spirit simply by faith in Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving us your Word. Thank you, God, for giving us one another. Thank you, God, for the times that you've answered my prayers and you've delivered me out of pits and you've delivered me out of hardships. I mean, all of us can think back of things that God has done. And when we run out of personal things, we can go to the scriptures and think of all the things that the scriptures reveal that God has done. And we could thank him for his wonderful works. This is what the voice of thanksgiving looks like. Thanking him for all that he has done. His works in creation, his works in redemption, his works in protecting us and keeping us until that day that we see him face to face. In Psalm 69, verse 30, the psalmist says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So he says that, you know, his song, his praise of God he would magnify the Lord in who he is, just in his thanksgiving. When was the last time you did that? I would imagine it was this morning when you got up, you know, magnifying the Lord with thanksgiving and just praising him, or throughout the day. Or maybe you were doing 55 miles an hour and somebody slammed on their brakes in front of you and you were just about to hit them and your car just slid just enough, but you were so scared. And as soon as you realized that everything was going to be okay, you're like, thank you, God. Praise you, God. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. And then there's Psalm 95, verse 2. Here, look what he says. Here's one of those directives. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. You know, it's such a blessing. And I wish to God that God would help us to be more expressive in our thanksgiving during our times of worship. Sometimes I feel like I'm just so white. I know that probably doesn't sound right, but I'm Puerto Rican. I should be a little bit more energetic. You know, I got that Latin blood in me. What happened? You know what it is? I grew up with a bunch of white people. They squeezed out that woohoo, that excitement right out of me. No, I'm only kidding. I know that might sound terrible, but please don't take it that way. I'm just playing and having fun. But I love how the scriptures do exhort us, just a believer, just the children of God. It doesn't matter what ethnic group we are. We don't have to be so conservative in church, especially when the scriptures tell us very clearly it's okay to come before him with thanksgiving and with shoutful joys, or shout joyfully to him with psalms. I don't mind when I hear those praise God or hallelujah or amen. You know, that doesn't bother me at all. So if you have that in you, please stir it up. You know, let it flow. It's biblical.
Amen.
As long as, amen, praise God. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, man. Would to God that he would just breathe within us and that we would take his word more serious and we wouldn't be so conservative. And when we're worshiping him, what an outlet he's provided for us. And we could say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I would not say, hey, stop doing that. I wouldn't give you a mic, but you could do it from there. Look at Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Again, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, I'm sure there's times that we come before the Lord heavy-hearted, but the scriptures say he come into his presence with thanksgiving. You know, I guarantee for every heavy heart that comes into his presence with thanksgiving, they'll leave much lighter than the burdens that they brought in with them. And into his courts with praise. And then notice, be thankful to him and bless his name. And then Psalm 107, verse 22. The scripture says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now the sacrifices of thanksgiving, you'll find in Leviticus chapter 7. And the sacrifice of thanksgiving was connected with the peace offering. And I will tell you, saints, the more thankful we are to the Lord, and even in times when it's a sacrifice to be thankful, we're depressed, we're discouraged, we're fearful of our future, we're not doing well, and it's a sacrifice to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You saved my soul. I was going to hell and you saved my soul. Nothing worse can happen to me. Nothing worse. The worst thing that can happen to a person is to die and go to hell. But for the person who's put faith in Christ, and that gift of salvation is free to all who call upon his name. But everyone who calls upon his name, he saves. And the worst that could ever happen to an individual will never happen to that individual who's called upon the name of the Lord. So if we've got nothing else to be thankful for, we could thank him for the gift of salvation that he's given us. But I know that once we get into the spirit of thanksgiving and we honor him with the fruit of our lips, even if it's at a cost, there's a sacrifice that brings peace within our being. Thanksgiving and peace, I believe, go very, very close together. You want more peace in your life? Start thanking God more. And those times when you feel like focusing on the negative and dwelling on things that just have no, they're not going to bear any fruit. You know, replace those negative thoughts with thoughts of gratitude towards God. And I guarantee, if it's sincere from the heart, peace will come and flood your soul. Because he's the Prince of Peace. And he loves to bless those who thank him with sincerity. Now, perhaps this is needless to ask, but why thank God? Why? Why should we be thankful? For that, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 107. We're going to read the whole psalm together, then I'll make a few final remarks, and then we'll close in prayer and with a song of worship. But we're looking at Psalm 107. See if you can find the resounding theme as to why we should be thankful. It's a long psalm, so prepare yourself. Don't check out. Thank God for his word. And let's finish this race together. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business in great waters, they seek, or rather they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down against the depth. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruit harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise, notice, will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Hear that again. Whoever is wise observes these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, the psalmist, he starts this psalm with an exhortation. He's talking to you, he's talking to me, he's talking to the you and the me of every single generation. And he starts out with this exhortation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. See, he says this as he preaches this message to all. And he is expressing that we should thank the Lord, and he's expressing this for, it's kind of like as a result of all of this. And if you caught it, this is what he says, that no matter what state a man may get himself into, if he cries out to God, God will deliver him. And for that, we should be grateful, because he is good, because his mercy, his compassion endures forever. No matter what state you might find yourself in, no matter what trouble you might get yourself in, we read it tonight, regardless of what state men got themselves in, whenever they cried out to God, God was there to deliver. And so, my brothers and sisters, we always have a reason to thank the Lord, always. Even in our worst state, we can cry out to him and know that he is faithful, that he is good, that he hears the cries of his sons and daughters. He hears the cries of those who humble themselves, and he is merciful to everyone who calls upon him. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we can always, no matter what state we might find ourselves in, we can always count on the fact, when we come to our senses and we're willing to repent and cry out to you, We can count on the fact that you are good and that your mercy endures forever. And we thank you and give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.